The following broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the service of Sunday, October 20th, 2018. Thank you to Bob and Liz Nelson.
Welcome, everyone, on this beautiful late fall sunny day. Good morning. My name is Tim Miller, and I'm here to serve you as the assisting minister today. A special welcome to any who are guests or visitors, and also to those joining in worship on KCHEK Radio and local TV. Our worship theme today is Come Walk With Us and Step Up to Giving. And today we have the privilege of welcoming and hearing our message from Pastor Craig Peterson, assistant to the bishop. Assistant to the bishop in the Minneapolis Area Synod. Thank you, Pastor Peterson, for being with us today. Please stand for the opening hymn. Please join me in the prayer of the day. Almighty, everlasting God, increase in us your gift of faith, that forsaking what lies behind and reaching out to what lies ahead, we may walk with you and through God with us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Thank you. A reading from Psalm, the 90th chapter. So teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart. Turn, O Lord. How long? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad in all our days. Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, and as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. Oh, prosper the work of our hands. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. And I added a few verses, asked the pastors if I could add a few verses, which I know you heard last week, but I think they round out the story for this week as well. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, thank you so much for the invitation to be here with you today, to Pastors Ben and Alicia. I always love coming here to New Prague, to Holy Trinity. It's such a great drive, especially on a beautiful morning like this, to drive through the rich farm fields. And I know you have good sports teams here in New Prague, but I didn't realize how serious it is because as I was driving by one farm site, just a little north of town, I saw cows sprinting in their pasture. I mean, this was not a little trot. It was like they were sprinting, and I thought, these are serious folks. Even the cows train hard on Sunday mornings. That's impressive. And it's wonderful to see the development of new homes and businesses in this community, and it's so great to experience the vitality that is growing here in this congregation. And soon the membership of this congregation will be increasing also through the direct efforts of your pastors. This is a tried and true growth strategy, right? Church growth. That's what they teach in seminary, right? We're excited for their growing family and for the support that you are giving them as a faith family. You probably know that pastors and church leaders sometimes aren't all that excited to talk about stewardship and giving, because sometimes it can feel like we're kind of prying into your personal financial lives, or other times it can feel like we're just asking for money for the church. But your pastors and elected leaders at Holy Trinity know that stewardship is much more than that. Stewardship is not just a code word for raising more money for the church budget. Stewardship is a faithful understanding of how we manage and care for everything that God has given us. Our money certainly is part of that, but also our time our talents, the soils and the skies and the waters around us that nourish our lives. All of it is a gift, and God has entrusted us with that gift to use well. Well, I want to get to the Bible readings today that talk about stewardship, but first I want to bring you a greeting from your synod office. Bishop Ann Svenningsen and the rest of my colleagues at the synod office, we really do celebrate with you all of the good things that God is doing here at Holy Trinity. We were so thrilled to be able to recently award your congregation a ministry imagination grant to help you hopefully build a new structure, a garage on your property that will enable you to expand your car care ministry, car repair ministry to low-income folks in this community. It's a wonderfully innovative idea. These ministry imagination grants are given to churches who are trying new things in order to reach out to the people of God and serve in new and different ways. We are also thankful for the support that your church is giving to an emerging ministry to Latino people in the southwest part of our synod here. That word synod means walking together or on a journey together. And that's exactly how we view our partnership with the 145 congregations that make up the Minneapolis Area Synod. Our bishop and we staff members can't do much of anything apart from congregations. And we believe that you can do so much more when you are linked together with us and with other congregations in our synod. Holy Trinity would not have received a grant to support your car repair ministry if Reformation Lutheran Church in St. Louis Park had not made the difficult but faithful decision 3 years ago to close their doors. And they donated the proceeds of the sale of their property to the synod to be used to help build up the other ministries in our synod. We are so grateful to God for their generosity. And other ways we work together are exemplified in this new Latino ministry strategy in the southwest part of this synod. That would not have happened if it was not for several congregations committing their efforts and their prayers and financial support to make something happen. We truly believe that with God, all things are possible. Wait, I feel like I've heard that somewhere before. For God, all things are possible. Oh, yes, it was in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And I know you heard part of that gospel last week, but this week we added a few verses, like one that talked about a camel and a needle, and then what is possible and impossible before God. Actually, this gospel reading doesn't start out as such good news. Jesus is talking to his disciples after a brief conversation with a wealthy man, a conversation that ended rather poorly, at least as far as the man was concerned. Here's a guy who had it all, at least in this life. The text said he had many possessions. So he thought, why not work ahead a little bit and secure my eternal life, my future as well? So he asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the man must have felt pretty good about the first part of Jesus' answer when he said, what do the commandments say? Don't kill. Don't be unfaithful to your spouse. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't cheat. Love your mom and dad. And the man thought and said to Jesus, I've done all these since I was a boy. So does that mean I'm all set for heaven? But Jesus surprised him and said, there's still one thing you lack. One thing you lack. And the man thought, wait, what? I lack something? Jesus tells him to sell everything and give the money to the poor and then come and follow Jesus. Not surprisingly, the man went away shocked and sad because he owned a lot of stuff. But what he lacked could only be gained by letting go of what he had. What do you lack? What do I lack? That's a question I have wrestled with this week as I went back over this gospel reading again and again. Is there something I lack? My wife Lisa and I are both thankfully employed. We're blessed with two healthy children who bring us great joy. and disobey us only occasionally. We live in a house that's comfortable and quite adequate. We have two working, reliable vehicles. We have a modest amount of savings put aside for the next chapters of our lives. Are there things that we lack or things we'd like? Well, sure there are. My wife would like a shiny new kitchen. I'd like a shiny new F-150 truck, but neither of those are going to happen anytime soon. But as I think about it further, I realize that what I sometimes lack is faith. Faith. Now, that's a dangerous thing for a pastor to say, I realize, but I must confess there are times when I lack the faith to fully let go of my desire to control my own life. Fully, I lack the faith to trust that God's grace will be sufficient, that with God all things are possible. This is what Jesus was talking about with this rich man. This man controlled his life on his own terms, through his wealth and possessions. But those wealth and possessions had become barriers to learning about the ways of the kingdom of God. Jesus was calling this man to let go so that he could experience something else, something more fulfilling, abundance of life through walking with Jesus Christ. The rich man, and we too, sometimes lack the freedom that faith provides, the joy of giving away. Wealth in the kingdom of God comes not from increasing our bank accounts, but from decreasing our need to control and accumulate and manage every aspect of our lives. We forget about the joy of building up our neighbors by sharing what we have. We miss out on the joy of letting go and seeing how this same God who gave away his only son for the salvation of the world can use our generosity for the good of this world. So I realize this is all pretty lofty language, but how does it work in our everyday lives? Well, I'll tell you how it works for us. Lisa and I tithe. We give away 10% of our income after taxes. Most of that giving goes to our church through automated withdrawals from our bank account, which is really convenient, I have to say, and makes up for our forgetfulness sometimes. And a small portion of our giving goes to other causes or organizations that we feel do important work to build up our communities in other ways. And we do try to save as much as we can. We're close to 10%, but not quite there. Like many of you, we have our budgetary challenges. But we really feel true joy when we see that despite those challenges, we are able to give through our church to support the important work that God is doing in the church locally, through the synod, through the church-wide, and globally. Now, I want to acknowledge today that all this talk of giving may be striking some of you at a time in your lives when you feel like you are already stretched thin and you're just struggling to make ends meet. Maybe you have some big medical bills from a recent illness in your family. Maybe you're burdened by consumer debt that got away from you. Maybe you're paying back some education loans or you're trying to recover from an unexpected car repair bill. And now your church is asking you to stretch a bit more and give a bit more to experience growth in your faith life. Well, your pastors and lay leaders know these are very real challenges in our lives as they think and pray about how to best approach this topic of stewardship. And God knows these are real challenges in our lives as well. God certainly asks for our full faith and trust in God's grace, but we still live in a material world where there are possessions and property, there are good years of earnings and poor ones, there are predictable costs and unpredictable ones. As followers of Jesus who come together as part of a community of faith, we experience the abundance and needs of life at different times, and we respond to God as we are able. Now, this kind of nuance is not always evident in the scriptures, especially in a Bible story like this one about the rich man and his possessions, because they're often presented as an example of all or none. The rich man was asked to give away all his possessions, or he would have no faith. And we think, really? Isn't there something in between that might fit us more closely? And then we hear Jesus say it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And we think, seriously? That sounds kind of harsh. I'm just going to say about that example that Jesus used that most biblical scholars agree Jesus was exaggerating here to prove his point. So we're going to kind of set that one aside. We'll give Jesus a maybe he was having a rough day kind of pass. Now, I'm no seamstress, but the times I've tried to replace a button on a coat, I could barely get the thread through the eye of a needle, much less a live animal. So I'm glad to let that exaggeration go. But most of us live somewhere between these extreme kinds of situations. We work hard. We do our best, yet we wonder if we're really doing enough, if God sees our efforts as enough. Like the psalm we heard earlier, we might pray, "Let the favor of the Lord be upon us and prosper for us the work of our hands." Oh, please prosper the work of our hands. We long to be reminded that God's grace is sufficient for us. Well, dear friends in Christ, today let me remind you that God's grace is enough. We are blessed by the abundance that God has in mind for us. The bread and wine of Holy Communion remind us each and every time we take them how we are more than enough in God's eyes. In the body and blood, we remember that God gave his all for us. Your stewardship theme of "Come, walk with us" is a great one. I saw you even have it on the chalk on the sidewalk outside. That's pretty cool. It's great because your growth in faith as a follower of Jesus is not an individual pursuit. We are growing in faith together. God has designed it to be that way, that we must be in community. And we as the synod also grow in our faith as we walk with you together. And so today I say thanks be to God for the incredible ministry of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church and for our partnership in Jesus Christ, who truly makes all things possible. Thanks be to God. Amen. We pray together the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.